Blog Talk Radio.
And we'd like to welcome you to the Healing Light Show. Healing Light Show is brought to you by Stan Shell Jr., who owns the show. He also has a, if you have Roku TV, you can watch him on a daily basis on the Healing Light channel. So I am Ken Burrell, your host, the Reverend Ken Burrell, I guess I should say. And as my guest today, I have somebody who I truly admire, someone I adore. I call him little brother. He calls me big brother, which I don't understand because he's actually bigger than I am. But nonetheless, we have with us today Dr. James Cathcart. James, how you doing?
Good morning, big brother. How are you?
I am healthy, happy, terrific. Can't complain any way, shape, matter, or form. Bless going in, bless going out, but I do thank you for the inquiry.
That sounds great. That sounds great. I call you big brother. Big is not it's supernatural. It's not natural.
Oh.
It's supernatural. And I look up to you and I respect you.
Well, I do you too, doctor. I'm not used to calling you doctor, but I'm going to do that for this program just to, because, well, you have a doctorate. And
yes.
I am so pleased to have you on the show today. I'll give you folks some background about James. He's a former Marine, Semper Fi. He is a prophet of God. I met him at a apostolic prophetic conference. I think it was back around 2011, 2012. And he spoke life to me and my wife, and we've been friends ever since. So it is a pleasure to have you as a guest. I know I'm being a little redundant, but it's worth repeating when it comes to you. And I might want to add that he still speaks life to me on occasions. If I have any struggles and I need to hear from God, James is one of the first people I go to. So once again, I welcome you to the program. What is on your mind to talk about today there, youngin?
Well, it's an honor to once again be on the radio broadcast, and I want to be very efficient in this approach. I don't want to cause a detaching, but I want to really cause a amalgamate the situation and bring us together as a body. And what's really been on my heart is dealing with the great falling away. And so if I can read a scripture and then kind of expound on it, and then I'll be quiet so you can interject your thoughts. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, I want to come out of 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 5. 1 Timothy, if you're in 2 Timothy, you won't find it, but if you're in 1 Timothy, 4th chapter, verses 1 through 5, and this is in the New King James I'll be reading from. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, to the insecure sincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created, and to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For this is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Can I pray?
Absolutely.
Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We thank you that this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice, we are rejoicing, and we command ourselves to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Father, that we're not bound by any current situation, any current diagnosis. We are bound by the word of God for the believers. We are bound by the truth. We're bound by the fact that we are in this world, but not of this world. Father, I'm asking that the words that come out of my mouth will come directly from heaven. I decrease, I depart, I disappear, I move out of the way so that you will speak through me. Let everything that is said through this vessel be glorified. Let you receive the glory, honor, and praise. every demon, every devil, every spirit, every witch, every warlock that would be on this airway praying against what's going to be said and to attack any listener, I decree and declare there will be no retaliatory attacks. You have been exposed, every demon of assault, every demon of accident, every demon of incident, every demon of catastrophic events, every demon of control and manipulation. You are renounced, you're exposed, and you are defeated and sent back to the pits of hell by the power and by the authority of Jesus Christ through the vessel that he has chosen for this hour. And for that, I give God the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen.
So, Ken, the hedge of protection has been prayed for every one of the listeners on this broadcast. I want to deal with the deception that has infiltrated the, quote, church, unquote. I want to make sure that I believe there's a distinguishing trait between the church and the body of Christ. I believe that the body of Christ is in order. I believe the church is being processed to get in proper order. I believe that 22 years ago, the message shifted from Christ being lifted up to a message of something called prosperity gospel. And so this deception crept in through demonic teaching. I'm just going to say it the best way I can put it. It's one thing to understand who we are as Christ's children, but the Bible also tells me that not everyone will be wealthy. Not everyone will be rich. He said even the poor will be with us at all times. He said, that's word. But this message of prosperity crept in. Everybody was supposed to become a millionaire. Everybody was going to be blessed. Everybody was going to get a brand new car. A check was going to be in the mail. And you're going to be promoted and own your own business. And that's fine, but it's not a truth. It's throwing something out there into the atmosphere. It's desolatory because a person will say, well, there's no way I must be saved because I'm not owning a business. I don't have $1 million and all these things that have been promised, but I'm living in a one-bedroom shack and I'm barely making ends meet. Maybe God has left me. And I want to break that deception this day because the great falling away has been people have been migrating to fellowships that are more geared towards an agenda, a vision, a one-man show of a vision or a mission to help them build their little kingdom without empowering and without equipping the people that God has sent. So many people have been overlooked, ignored. Those gifts are not even stirred. Those gifts are not even used. It's more or less two or three people that are the stars of the show in that fellowship, and all the other peons that show up to fellowship are just treated as vagabonds. They're just nomads, and you can come and go. If you leave, you're going to be cursed. If you stay, just work out in the field, but we're not going to ever use you in any capacity that's worthy of what God has called you to do. And so people have become disappointed, upset. They're not sensing. It's not so much a feel, because you can emotionally make people happy, and you can emotionally sing, and you can emotionally cry on a stage and make people emotionally charged, but it has nothing to do with being spirit-led, spirit-filled, and spirit-infused fellowships. And so the people are beginning to fall away, and I believe that the falling away is not so much people falling away into sin as it is people have become it's detestable, disgusted with the way fellowships are going because it's a one-man, or I'll say a one-person show.
That's the truth.
I'm pausing for your input.
Well, it's true. I run into people all the time who tell me that they don't want to go to church anymore. They, you know, there are so many people out there who have been wounded by other church members and by leadership that they just have no desire to come together and worship in one accord, because there's no more one accord. As you said, it's one man show. It's and I see it too. I mean, God sends me from church to church to church, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen it. There's one church here locally that I love the man who's the pastor there. I'm not going to mention his name, but I walked in there one day, and he's got these big golden thrones up on the platform. I mean, they look like something out of King Solomon's temple, you know, and I couldn't help but go, what are you doing? You know, those who are called to leadership have somehow failed to come to an understanding that they are the servant, not to be served.
And yes, sir.
And people go to these churches and they see that the so-called servant is being served and treated like King Solomon or you know, high and glorious man of, you know, what somebody said here, the chief apostle I heard the other day. I'm like, what does that mean? Chief apostle? Does that mean you're bigger than all the other apostles? What does that mean? I don't understand it. But to my understanding, my Bible tells me that I have to lift up others above myself, that I am to serve others before myself, just as Jesus himself served others and not himself. Am I making sense?
That's 100% correct, and that's what we want to amend today. We want to fix this situation spiritually, and I want to make a caveat this situation. I am not saying every church is out of order. I want to make that very clear. I'm not saying every church is out of order. There are many churches that are thriving. They're doing the will of God. They're evangelizing. So please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. What I want to address is the leadership and the churches that are out of order, so that we can bring these churches into that, once again, unify these churches that will become the body of Christ, and we can get away from churches that had people just with sycophant membership that are just flattering the leader, but they're worshiping a man, but there's no spirit in that fellowship. Leadership has gotten to a point where we have walked hand in hand with demonic doctrines, walked hand in hand with demonic fellowships, and we got to the point where we can't even be distinguished between the world and the church. And so the undelivered leadership is going through. They were anointed and they were called and chosen, but walked away from the thing called holiness, walked away from eschewing sin, and just said, grace has me covered. I can live any kind of way. Now, look, when I talk about this, I'm talking about myself. I put myself in the mix because I don't want it to ever seem like I'm just throwing this out there and targeting other people. I deal with James first, and I go to God about James always. And there's been times when I ask God, please take this away from me, take these desires, take this situation away from me, because I don't want to keep doing this, I don't want to go through that, or whatever. And I have heard the words, I've heard it. I've even felt a hand on my shoulder when I was in prayer in the basement one day, and it was as if he was saying, not only is my grace sufficient, but the fact that you are addressing this situation, my hand is still on you. And I believe God's hand has been removed from many people, so they have the gift, but they don't have the anointing. So they're going through the routine of what they can remember to routinely stir people up. But there's no authority over demons because the anointing has been taken away. And so dealing with demons, you've got to do a self-check and say, look, I'm not going to just continue to abide in sin. I'm not going to continue to abide in the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. I'm not going to abide in these things because I have gotten to a point in my life where doing the will of God is more important than pleasing the flesh. And when I say flesh, people automatically say, well, it must be sexual sin. No, it can be, it is a myriad of sin that deal with the flesh. Even desires, waking up in the middle of the night and the Lord telling you to pray, and you decide to go do something else or check your Facebook page and not pray, that's sin. Or the Lord tells you to go next door and check on the family, and you said, no, I'm not checking on that family. They didn't check on me when I was sick. You're in sin. And so let's not make this so-called the three big sins. Let's talk about sin across the board. We need leadership to do a self-check and to begin to renounce these demons, renounce these demonic spirits that are nothing but familiar spirits that have walked hand in hand with us, speaking in tongues, praying in the spirit, preaching the Bible, but still going back to something that's ungodly. It's a demon. It's not a curse. It's not a hex. It's a demon. Now, a witch will attempt to curse and put hexes on people. And I believe that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no way in the world that a witch is going to put a curse on me or hex me or I be possessed with a demon and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Absolutely impossible. But I can be oppressed by those spirits if I'm not walking in the purity and in holiness. Pausing for you.
Well, I want to ask you a question. You know, like I said, I run into this a lot. But most of these men, I don't think, realize that they are being oppressed. They believe they're doing right. They believe they're, you know, following Christ, or at least they appear to believe that. There's a few I've met that probably know better, but how do we get to a point of letting these leaders know that they're off base a little bit, that they're not going in the direction that God wants for a time such as this? I mean, Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Listen to me, people. He is coming back sooner than most of us believe. And as you said, James, this is a reason a lot of people are falling away. A lot of people are leaving the church because of this kind of behavior. I mean, churches these days, there's a few around here that, you know, it's a Sunday morning concert, you know, it's entertainment beyond measure. It's, you know, it's preachers trying to be the next Benny Hinn or whatever, you know, doing their own little TV shows and things like that. But it's all focused not on Jesus, but on the church entertainment and the preacher and everything else. How do we get people back to the basics, including these servants, so-called servants of God?
Your question is beyond powerful. And I don't know if anybody else on the broadcast could even sense, but I sensed the glory fall when you said what you just said. How do we get back to the basics? And I sensed the presence of God heavier than I've sensed the presence, I would say, in years right now, which means that we're at the threshold of something that is on God's heart. And he's backing what's being said. We get back to these. Remember,
I'm totally anointed right now, so I'm sorry.
Do you sense the presence of God?
Oh my goodness! For, yes.
He said in 1 Timothy the fourth chapter. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. This is in the so-called house of God, teachings of demons. Now you tell me, will God's presence and will God's glory abide in the midst of teachings of demons? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The Ichabod has been written over the doorposts, which means the Spirit of the Lord has departed from this place. And many buildings are filled with people that are being taught by demonic influence leadership. They're the ones that will say there's no such thing as this. The Bible is not saying that anymore. There was a mistake in the Bible. I've even heard in certain faiths, and I'm not going to say anything, but in certain faiths they were saying we need to rewrite the Ten Commandments because there's some mistakes in the commandments. And we need to rewrite the New Testament because we need to add a few things to it because it wasn't being addressed back then. But now that we have, I'm going to say it, same-sex marriage, we need to go ahead and add this in because God loves everybody. Yes, you better believe he loves everybody. But one thing that God does love, he loves his word. And his word is above his name. And with that name, the word stands alone. In other words, you're not going to add to the word of God, and you're not going to take from the word of God. The word of God is truth. The word of God is spirit. And what we've done is allowed leadership to tweak the word to fit their issue. And so there's right. a grace, there's a coolness, there's a, hey, Bubba, hey, right on. I'm not going to deal with these issues right here. I can only deal with this issue over here. I can't deal with marriages because I've been through 8 divorces. I can't deal with this over here because I abused my kids. I can't deal with this right here because I still I have a drinking problem. I can't deal with this right here. And so we've targeted people that smoke cigarettes or people that smoke a cigar or people that drink a glass of wine as being demons and overlooked the true sin, which is tweaking the word of God to fit your need, is a great sin. You're telling me that if I smoke a cigarette, if I smoke a cigar, if I drink a glass of wine, I'm not talking about in abundance, I'm not talking about overindulgence, that I'm going to hell. But if I get up in the pulpit and I'm preaching something to make people comfortable and not challenging them, that I'm okay, I beg to differ. It's time for us to deal. We need leadership summits so leaders can leave the city and head to a safe place, a safe haven. I'm not talking about something that's going to be broadcast on social media or I'm going to be tweeting that, hey, I'm here with Bishop so-and-so. He just got delivered from cocaine addiction. Absolutely not. There need to be safe havens for leadership to depart from their congregations and spend a couple of days in intense deliverance. Deliverance. Yes, deliverance. I'm not talking about deliverance from low self-esteem. I'm talking about deliverance from some major heavy-hitting demon. The reason why we see a lot of leadership going into depression and committing suicide is because that demon has kept them so busy with things that they never dealt with themselves. And so the weight of their calling is a battle because they're battling themselves, what they know secretly, and trying to present themselves in another way openly, and it's not going to work.
I agree.
We need safe havens. We need retreat. We need these. We need leadership summits that don't deal with the prosperity message on the first day, the first night. You know, everybody's going to be blessed. Let's get delivered. Let's
Absolutely.
Get set free. Let's go back to the basics of something called prayer. Not praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, praying on pockets. Let's get on our knees and pray, P-R-A-Y. Let's come to the altar. Let's drop titles. Let's drop positions. And let's come to the altar as leaders and pray for one another and get some serious healing, some serious deliverance, so we can go back to our congregations empowered. When you go back empowered, you can preach the truth. And then Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Not every church is going to be a mega church. But I'm going to tell you this right now. A storefront church is not a small church if you have a big God. And a mega church with no God is nothing.
Amen.
And you'll get that later on. So we need these. We need to boldly start doing crusades for leaders. And these leaders come in. We'll have disclaimers, confidentiality disclaimers, letting them know there would be nothing disclosed. There would not be any pictures posted on social media about these gatherings. I think it's very personal when a person's at the altar being delivered. It doesn't need to be broadcast. It doesn't need to be put on social media to exploit as if you're some wonderful person that can lay hands on people and fall out. I don't have to touch people. They'll fall out. God might have me blow on people. They'll fall out. But it's not me. It's the power of God. And so why am I putting it on social media so that I can get attention and people say, oh, we want him to come to our fellowship? No, you want the presence of God, and you want God's will done, and you want a leader that will submit to the will of God to come and do God's will versus some superhero that's become an idol. I'm pausing, big brother.
I know you are, and I'm thinking, little brother. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's not many men of God that I have trusted. You're one, Prophet James. Prophet Jeff Howard is another one, and for me, it's because of the many attacks I've had over the years. You know, I attended one church with a person that I truly thought highly of, you know, but when I started preaching about the blood, all of a sudden I didn't fit in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a preacher friend of mine many years ago when I got ordained said, you know, pastors go through a lot of stuff, you know. For one thing, you know, they're the leader of the sheep, but sheep only stand so high, and they'll bite you when you turn your back. And that's normally where they get you, too, you know, about the height of their mouth.
Right.
Anyhow, I have, over the years, come to an understanding that a lot of the preachers out there, I understand what you were saying about, you know, coming together and holding some kind of a conference where these leaders can come in. But the question that pops up in my mind is, how do you get preachers who are being demonically led? How do you get them into a Holy Spirit filled place where they can get free and be set free indeed? I know I went through deliverance over 35 years ago. Thank you, Jesus, mm-hmm. for that. That was a life-changing.
Yes.
I have peace of mind, and I've had it for 35 years. You know, before that, my mind raced at, you know, a million miles an hour, and I didn't know what peace was. But also at that time, that I went to this deliverance session. We drove from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan down to Valparaiso, Indiana, and a minister there was doing deliverance. And I actually thought this. They put this guy in, well, they called it the hot seat, put him right in front of him, and he was going to sit and start doing deliverance. And I thought to myself, well, I'm just going to get up and get out of the way so the man of God can do his job. And I did. I got up and I started walking to the other side of the room. I sat down. And as soon as I sat down, he looked at me and said, no. He said, in fact, come over here and sit right next to him. I did what I was told. And as he was doing the deliverance for him, I also received deliverance.
That's correct.
And it changed everything. For one thing,
right.
I knew I could hear. I knew that I would hear my own thoughts only. I would hear the voice of God only. And that when Satan came to try to infiltrate my thinking, it was how can I put it? It was you knew it was coming from the outside. You knew it was not of God, or and it was not of yourself. It was invasive.
That's
is the word I was searching for. And over the years, I've learned to battle any invasive thoughts by simply saying, I hold every thought captive to obey my Jesus. And when I do that, you know, the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee. That's resistance. He flees every time.
Yes.
But then again, I'm coming back to my original question. How do you get people who, you know, I've told people for years and years and years. Once you know you're deceived, you can no longer be deceived in that same method. Deception
That's
only
correct.
Works when you don't know about it. So how do we get...
That's correct.
How do we get people to know they're being deceived when they think they're not?
It's a two-prong situation. And I'll tell you, the first prong are the leaders that have sent people away with a curse assigned to the person. These are godly, God-fearing, supposedly anointed leaders that when a person leaves the fellowship, they have told the person, now that you have left, your life will be cursed. Nothing will prosper. You won't succeed in business. Everything will fail. And those curses have been spoken out into the atmosphere, and familiar spirits picked up on those words, and as a familiar spirit will do, begins to look for a crack, look for an opening in that person that has had that curse thrown out there, not even knowing, most of them not even knowing that they have been, curses have been spoken over them from people that they used to respect. Now, I'm going to tell you again, a demon is not going to possess me.
That's right.
Being spirit-filled. But a demon and a familiar spirit will bring something to you that's conducive to causing you to turn away from the Lord. You can put certain things in front of me, nothing will happen. You can try to introduce something else to me, and I'm going to have to start binding and rebuking, just like you said, because the devil is going to, he'll go away for a season, and then he's going to try to probe again. His attempt is to always cause us to fail, cause us to fall away. The second prong is we have to pray without even addressing the leaders. We have to go into a realm. And when I say we, there's intercessors, there's people that know this is the heart of God that are going to have to flip their plates, get on their knees, and let's not do this 6 to 6 p.m., but let's do some fasting that's going to take a couple of days. Let's turn some TVs off and let's walk away from some Super Bowls and playoffs and whatever and say, God, I'm more concerned with the body of Christ. I'm more concerned with the church. I'm more concerned with your leadership being delivered so we can see the manifestation of your power as is spoken, that blind eyes should be opening, the lame shall walk, we should be raising the dead. You don't have any signs and demonstration because there's no power. There's been no anointing. There's been no pursuing the Lord for that type of anointing because we've been distracted. If we get on our knees and begin to have fellowships where we're just praying for the church, and especially church leadership. Now, let me make one thing very clear. When I say pray for church leadership, I'm not talking about your church, your local church. I'm talking about the leadership at large in the universe. I'm talking about the universal leadership that says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are going to have to intercede on behalf of leadership to the point when we get that green, when we get that check in our spirit, just like the Lord, he let us know that he was, his presence was here. I believe that that's going to cause hearts of leaders when they see something posted, a flyer saying there's going to be a leadership summit for healing and deliverance. They will be ushered by the Holy Spirit, not because of us forcing them, but the Holy Spirit will usher them because of the prayers. The Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much.
That's right.
Not through our righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Christ that we abide in. If we can pray the heart of God, I believe that he can prick the heart of the leaders. And when we go to these different regions and have leadership summits for deliverance, we can see people come. And Big Brother, we're not going to stand up there and say, in order for you to be delivered, sow a $71 seed or sow a $55 seed for double grace. We're not going to come up with these clumsy little sayings that are all money-driven, because in the midst of our praying, we're going to pray also for God, who says that he's the supplier of all of our needs according to his riches and glory, which are in Christ Jesus. If we're praying to that God, then he's going to supply the conference center, or he's going to put it on a heart for a pastor to open his doors at no charge. And we will come in and do these leadership summits, not with the congregants, but I'm talking leaders, in a safe place, very confidential, and then send them back. It's like when Jesus breathed on his disciples and then he sent them into the city to go preach. I believe that type of authority, especially when the apostolic realm of the Spirit is being released into the atmosphere, I personally believe that leaders will come out of the cracks and crevices. I believe that leaders will be raised from a dead situation and restored back to life. I believe that anointings will be restored, but it's going to
and increase.
But it's going to take a remnant of people that are going to willing to drop everything and be about God's business. Say, we're going to pray for the universal church leadership to get delivered. Not a song, not a dance, not a shout, not a hoop. It might be some of the so-called boringest teaching that you have ever heard, but it would be the greatest life change you'll ever experience by getting delivered.
Well, that's true. Deliverance made, you know, I'm in a deliverance ministry and have been ever since I got delivered, because the day I got delivered, that pastor who did that looked at me and said, you're going to be really good at this. He said, make sure you follow it up. And I didn't have anybody to teach me about deliverance. I just kind of walked my way through it. And back in those days, it would take, you know, maybe an hour or two to get somebody delivered, sometimes longer. Because back in those days, the demons would manifest. They would talk to me. They would, you know, I can't tell you. I've heard a little girl's voice come out of a grown man going, please don't do this. I've heard a grown man's voice come out of a woman saying, I'm going to kill you. Yeah.
Yes.
But over the years, I have learned that I have nothing to do with it in the first place. It is the authority and the power of Christ Jesus. And now that I know my authority, it takes 5 minutes to get someone delivered. Period.
That's correct.
Because God does. When you know
that's
who you are in Christ, that applies across the board, not only in deliverance, but in healing ministry. As you know, I love the healing ministry part that God has given me. But it's, again, not me. It is His authority. It is the Word of God. You know, in John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And in Psalms 107:20 it says, He sent His Word to heal us. Whoa!
Yeah.
That just says everything.
Yes.
He sent the Word to heal us, and He is the Word. So if we follow Him and the authority He has given to every believer, who I believe must be baptized in the Holy Spirit before you can walk in the authority, you have to be in a very sincere, close relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is actually Jesus and the Father God, the Holy Spirit, in reverence, because He is the one who does everything they command. You know, there's only one sin that you can that is unforgivable, and that is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Which right there tells you, oh, what I just said is true. God and Jesus hold Him in reverence. Jesus said Himself,
that's
you said, speak against me, but you better not speak against the Holy Ghost. Don't do it.
Yes, He did.
And
yes, He did.
You.
What have we heard? What have we heard, Big Brother? We've heard churches saying, You don't need to speak in tongues. You don't need all that. It doesn't take all that. Or we don't do that here. And I respect your doctrine, but I don't respect the fact that you're going to say you don't need that when the Holy Spirit is the person of the triune. Something made me feel good, or it. No, He's the Holy Spirit.
It's not an it.
And so it's been taught ignorantly due to lack of knowledge, lack of time with the Lord, and people have been disarmed and disabled of what they're supposed to do. It's like going inside of a military camp and taking all the weapons out and telling them to get some sticks and some rocks, and that's what you're going to fight with. And all the weaponry that you had at hand has been uncovered, exposed, disarmed, and rendered useless. And so you have normal battles that you should be winning with no problem. You should just open your mouth and speak to that mountain, and it should be removed. But you can't, because you're speaking from a infantile mindset due to the fact that you've been disarmed. So that's the other part of that prong. We've got to get leaders. We've got to get people healed from the hurt and curses that have been spoken out there. That's congregants and leaders, because there's curses that have been spoken and parents have said things over their children, and that lingered with them, and that familiar spirit stayed with them. And they never were set free from those things that were spoken over them. Teachers saying, you'll never be anything. You'll never succeed. You're a failure. Those things linger. And then a leadership has that burden of not being delivered from those words. A congregant has the burden of trying to go to a new fellowship, but the lingering curse that's hanging around them that casts a shadow over them, instead of leaving the place on good terms and going into their new assignment with a good right standing, you know, leaving one church and then going to another with another letter saying, yeah, this person left in right standing, they did everything right, and we're happy that they're at the next location. We know they're going to be a blessing. Versus, watch James, he's going to try to take over your ministry, or he's going to destroy your church, you know. And so that leader sitting there with one eye on the Bible and one eye on you, trying to figure out when you're going to make your move, when the fact of the matter, it's been a lie spoken into the atmosphere that they unknowingly believed because they couldn't discern that what was being said was demonic.
Amen.
And last but not least, Ken, I'm going to say this with all sincerity and all humility. We need people activated, and we need people stirred in their gifts. I'm talking about
Amen.
Congregants. We need
yes.
them stirred in the spirit. We need them stirred up. We need them healed. We need them set free. We need them delivered. I know this for a fact. I was preaching in Virginia Beach in 2009, and there was a powerful move of God. And after the service, I mean, people, bodies were all over the floor. It wasn't touching anybody, but people were falling out. And Ken, the thought entered into my mind, you sure are anointed. And the Holy Spirit said, I did that demonstration because the old lady that was sitting on the left side of the church in the back was praying, and I honored her prayers.
Come on now. You know,
wake up call. That was a wake up call. Let me know. Don't ever go into a fellowship or don't ever stand in front of people thinking that I'm just going to honor you and I'm not honoring anybody else in here's prayers. I'm not going to honor the intercession, intercessory team that has prayed, the leadership that has prayed. I'm just going to honor this fellowship because you're here. The devil is a liar. God can take the prayers of a six-year-old and honor the six-year-old that's in the children's church and move by his power and spirit because he honored the six-year-old that was at the fellowship.
I want
to
take a moment.
Pause.
Okay, I want to take a moment and invite any listeners. If you have any questions for Dr. Cathcart, feel free to give us a call. The telephone number is 515-602-9685. That's 515-602-9685. And I also want to acknowledge Reverend Stan Schell once more for giving us the opportunity to put this program back on the air. So appreciated. This is our second show. And I just looked up and looked at the clock and I went, oh my goodness, the time has just flown by. You've been so interesting to listen to, and it's just been awesome. I didn't realize that we were running out of time, but we are. Nonetheless, what you're saying is true. Now, you and I, we've talked before. I have a vision in my heart to have an apostolic prophetic gathering. I know it will come in God's timing. And when that happens, I believe, okay, we've got a call coming in. Let's take that call first, okay?
Okay. Absolutely.
Hello, you're on the air.
God bless you, man of God. God bless you. Can you hear me?
Now I can, yes. Go right ahead.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
So I was actually just listening. I caught the last bit of what was being said. I'm Prophet Benton, and I've never heard your show before, but I was, you know, just kind of, you know, glazing through the Blog Talk. I have a Blog Talk of my own, and uh-huh. just wanted to hear and listen. So I just wanted to... I had no plans of actually saying anything. I just wanted to listen. But nonetheless, praise the Lord. God bless you, Prophet.
God bless you, Apostle.
So I just wanted to say I love what I hear. I do agree with you in terms of what is needed in the body of Christ in this hour due to the things that we hear, we see, we witness. And now is the time that we activate what God has given unto us, you know. And I, as a matter of fact, I ministered a couple of Saturdays ago, and my charge was to activate their war. I think one of the problems that we are facing is that we, as the body of Christ, have become silent, and we allow the things that we see. We complain about them, and we, you know, we murmur. But we, God gave us dominion in the earth realm, praise the Lord. But we have sat back and allowed things to happen because we won't speak. How is it that the Muslims are able to speak and every other entity is able to speak, even though they're not serving the true and living God, and they make change? But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we come together as a body of who serve the true and living God? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we come together and we make our roar heard so that we can bring change into the earth realm? We have become a people who have allowed Satan's rules and laws to govern how we move, at our faith, you know, and it has caused God to be grieved. And we can see the evidence of that when we hear about tornadoes and hurricanes and things of that nature. And what it is we have kindled God's anger, but yet we sit and we say nothing. We're too afraid of the consequences, you know, because we want war. We won't speak against sin. We won't speak against the things that are disgrieving and that go against the Holy Ghost and the Holy Word of God. And so these are the things that grieve me, you know. And I'm pretty sure these are the things that grieve you, prophet, man of God, as well. And I think that it is important that we're able to have a platform where we can speak truth to power. And so I just wanted to say that I love what I'm hearing. Again, you know, it is when the prophet speaks, when we are able to speak truth regardless of the consequences, because when we stand before the Lord, he's going to ask us, as it says in the book of Ezekiel, you know, why didn't you do what I told you to do? And your excuse is, well, you know, what happened was, you know, see what happened. And he's going to say, shoo, be gone. We are responsible for speaking God's word. It's not a matter of whether the people receive it or not. That's not our charge. That's between them and the Lord. If they don't receive it, then they'll have to give an account to that. But we certainly do not want the blood to be on our hands because we were disobedient. And so the key word here is just that. It's obedience.
Amen.
In the things
I hate,
of God,
I hate
in
to
the dispensation of time. Amen.
Amen. I hate to cut you short, but we're running out of time very quickly here. In fact, we are basically out of time. I want to thank you so very much for calling in. What you said was impactful, and I appreciate it. James, thank you so very much for being on
You're
the
welcome,
program.
Brother.
I hope to bring you back again soon. I absolutely enjoyed it. I love how you speak truth like most men don't, and I do appreciate that. But we're going to have to end the program now. We've got less than 30 seconds. I'm going to end it with a song. God bless everybody. Thank you once again, Reverend Shell. We do appreciate it. Have a good and godly day. Be blessed. Be a blessing. This
Amen.
Has been the healing
you
talk.
In the wildest of your dreams, I will. Winter's gone, spring is now coming, my love. You feel you're done, you're still alive. You can't trust me.